Now, we heard earlier about the worries of groundwater contamination, and we're still joined here by Geoffrey Parker. So, Geoff, your research group have been looking at risk assessments surrounding this sort of thing. What are the chances of fracking chemicals actually getting into the water supply?
All these things are, I think I would echo everyone else's opinion, everyone's so far's opinion, that it's very locally dependent and geology is very complex. So things like the Marcellus Shale is a pre-existing, a lot of fractures vertically in that geologic formation previously. So there is some question about how much of that is the well, which it possibly could be leaking, and how much of that is the sort of the natural geologic formation from previous tectonic activity or from glacial activity historically. The shallow aquifers that we use for groundwater, the drinking water, 30% of the water in the UK comes from, that is supposed to be hydraulically non-connected to these shale reservoirs. So the question is, how can they be connected? If they're not connected, if the groundwater is at maybe a couple hundred meters deep, so 200, 300 meters deep, and the shale is at 2 kilometers, 3 kilometers deep, how can there be connections on how that occurs? And there are a couple of sort of modes of failure that have been sort of theorized. One is this pre-existing fractures. Another is if ground operations on the surface, if there's spillage, I mean, you're handling methane, but you're also handling these other fluids. If something spills, then there's a potential for that. So it's operation as well. There's potential for there to be contamination of the groundwater. And finally, the big one is the well. So where we should focus on our efforts and making sure the well is really correct and not allowing these leakage in between the vertical well and the aquifer. The vertical well runs from the surface to the deep shale, 2 kilometers, 3 kilometers deep, and it runs through the groundwater layers and a whole bunch of other layers. Then there's the horizontal well, which is a big new part of the technology. Since about 2005, it's really viable. And that actually really has reduced the number of wells, the number of vertical wells. So this potentially, if the horizontal drilling becomes more significant and the number of vertical wells goes down, then potentially that could also lower the risk profile.
What exactly are these chemicals we've been talking about? Are they something we should worry about?
Again, the UK is doing the right thing here. The EA has rights to require everything that's injected to be disclosed. So there has been some historical situation in the US where that's not been the case. So that's a big difference. The fracking fluid is 90% water, more or less. So significant quantities of water are needed, something like 4 to 12 Olympic-sized swimming pools of water. And that's injected into these wells and then flows back out. 25 to 75% of that flows back out of the short term. And over the long term, there's the rest of it sort of seeps out. So 90% of that fracking fluid is water. About 9% of it is something called proppant, which is usually sand. And what the proppant does is it wedges the fractures open, keeps the gas flowing, basically. And then there's some other small components, less than 1%. And one of them is friction reducer, which is, again, to try and get the proppant really wedged in correctly. I mean, you can find some of these friction reducers in things like face cream. So there's nothing necessarily in that list that's been disclosed to the EA so far. There's nothing that really causes too many alarms. But of course, there is potential. If you have a lack of transparency, there is potential that other things are in there. And the other concern is this flowback water, which once it's in the shale formation, it's exposed to the rock, and it can pick up minerals and possibly mildly radioactive things as well. So that might also be a concern. So those are sort of the mechanisms.
We've got an email in from Hetty Jacobs earlier in the week, and she's in Australia. She said they've over there got numerous reports of polluted water, and they're one of the driest continents on the planet. If we need to dispose all this water or clean it up, would some areas of the world be concerned about droughts?
The absolutely. I mean, you have to make a trade-off here. If you're going to use significant quantities of water for this, then like anything, you have to get that water from some place. So how do you look at managing that? Well, you could take the water from a water utility, or you could take the water from an aquifer, or you could take the water from a river system or a lake, or you could use possibly saline water, which is so brackish water or what is essentially wastewater already to do that. And that's something they're looking at doing now as well. But absolutely, I mean, there are no doubt there is significant quantities of water that are needed, and that water needs to be trucked in sometimes and trucked out and treated and disposed of in a reasonable way.
So what can we do to minimize the risk?
My view on this is sort of agnostic, and I'm an engineer, so if we're going to talk about this stuff, let's identify which risks are sort of real and significant locally and which ones are less real and less significant locally, and let's try and make sure that we place our effort and our legislation and our monitoring and transparency on where the risks are. So things like making sure the wells are correct, making sure you know the baseline of methane already in the ground. You have increased monitoring, you have proper regulation, you have competent regulation. inspection, things along those lines are sort of an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure kind of thing.
Thanks, Jeff. That was Jeffrey Parker from Cambridge University Engineering Department. And thanks also to all of our other panellists.
I want to come very quickly back to Tony here. We've heard from everybody there are risks, but they're small. I mean, if we can keep everything, we put the proper regulation in, is fracking something that we should be looking to at least in the short term fulfil some of our energy needs?
So this brings us back to the big question of the climate change issue. That's the one where the risk remains huge and the one that we can't mitigate through the ways in which we develop this technology, unless we had a major commitment towards carbon capture and storage. And we don't have that. There isn't a clear government signal that we're going to have that linked to this technology. So I remain sceptical on the climate change subject, even though I hear the engineers telling us we can manage some of the risks around, for example, groundwater contamination, and potentially we might be able to minimise some of the impacts on the landscape. Although having seen some of this in the United States, I remain quite troubled about that too.
Well, it doesn't seem like this debate is going to end anytime soon, but thanks so much to all of our panellists for taking part in the debate.